Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Cool.
We rolling.
Okay, we miss it. I'll have one too.
No colon, still rolling.
Can you feel me in? Yeah. Hannah, where have you been?
Hospital! Hey! Hey guys, I'm back!
This is going to be the unfunniest episode of Banging Book Club ever because Hannah's not allowed to laugh because it hurts her stitches.
It's not funny.
It's the fact that Hannah's happy that she's still the best at it.
No, her poo bag's going to go everywhere.
Does the poo bag go everywhere when you laugh?
I don't know.
No, it's very much stuck to me.
Hashtag Mythbusters.
Hello and welcome to the Banging Book Club, the fortnightly podcast where we read books about sex and gender, and we talk about My name's Lena Norms.
My name's Issy Moon.
And I'm Hannah Witten.
She's back from the dead. And we've got a new member of the Banging Book Club.
Everyone say hi to Mona, my stoma. Mona the stoma.
Hannah has a poo bag, and we're really excited to have it with us.
Yeah.
I want to hear its opinions on sex and gender.
Well,
will it be a Tory? Who knows?
I don't know, Mona.
I hope
not.
The NHS built it.
Yeah, built it.
You never know. Frankensteins can go rogue. Anyway.
Mona has she/her pronouns. so don't use it. That's really rude.
I'm really sorry. If she had a Twitter account, we'd know. Sorry.
So what is happening in this mini-sode? Because obviously I haven't read The Power. I plan on doing that.
Yeah, you'll
I've
read
not
it
listened
eventually.
To the episode you did with Sonia yet, because spoilers.
Well, it's very good, so there you go. that's my personal review.
My mum wants to listen to it because she's read The Power.
Yeah, no, I had a great talk with Hannah's mum about The Power last week. It was great. She's very into it. this mini-sode, we thought we'd talk about a book that everybody seems to have read at the moment and is very much in the public imagination, and that is The Handmaid's Tale. So the first series has already aired on Channel 4 and Hulu. Hulu.
Hulu.
I ain't from the Yanks, I don't know what they do.
Channel 4. It's on Channel 4.
A country far, far away without Channel 4.
All four have removed it.
Yeah, they do that. They have it's up for 28 days or something.
You can watch it in whichever way you see fit.
Use your imagination.
Yeah. Oh, also the tenuous link between The Power and this minisode is dystopian feminist fiction.
Which I don't think is that tenuous,
no,
especially because Margaret Atwood blurbed Naomi Alderman. And
true.
Stuff,
so yeah.
It's all very connected.
And the second series, that they've just released the trailer for the second series.
Have
so
you watched
very
it?
Exciting, yes.
Ooh. Wait, the second series of The Handmaid's Tale, how are they going to make another series?
They're going off book.
Ooh. Not that they went off book in the first place,
but
because
obviously
they're
the
going
end
beyond
the events.
Oh, were they
of the book.
Off book in the first one?
There's lots of stuff that they had to make up because you're seeing stuff from other characters that aren't Offred, whereas the book is solely from Offred's POV.
Who's off Glenn and her lesbian partner,
and then you
all
see
that.
What
that's all imagined.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she was in.
She's in it, but there's no mention of her being gay or that.
You know, there is mention of her being gay, but you just you know that she's a gender traitor, but you you don't see what happens to her and her wife
because
you never see, and also her stealing that car and running over some security guys. That doesn't happen in the book, and that was insane.
Noise reviews. Hannah?
It's like...
Don't strain yourself now.
Ooh.
Nice?
Yeah.
Mine is a...
Yeah.
Mine's a...
we should probably add now, this is spoiler heavy.
This is very spoiler.
If you care about spoilers. Yeah. Also, maybe trigger warning for...
dystopia.
But dystopia. Yeah, but also like rape, sexual assault.
Yeah. Yeah,
governments that lie,
horrible things,
all of the things. Yeah. So that leads very well into my first question, actually. So my first question, class. Do you think The Handmaid's Tale should have been made into a TV series? Why or why not?
Well, now that I've seen the TV series and I highly approve of it, I'm like, yes,
cool.
Because I'm
but
like,
before that, were you nervous?
Yes, like when I found out that there was going to be a TV series, I was like, this must be good.
I'm not surprised it's been made into a TV series, but I read it for my A-levels when I was 16, and I cannot believe I was set a book like that as a 16-year-old. Mm. Maybe it was just more hardcore than I remember.
Yeah, that's heavy.
Yeah, but like, we got set like 1984 and stuff. Yeah, but 1984, I feel like...
We have Oliver.
For like a room full of women...
Poverty.
Yeah.
The most explicit.
Yeah, for a room full of women who... are, I don't know, who are not necessarily encouraged to talk about things or weren't in that in that kind of environment, like the whole come on Lucy, use your words, the slut shaming elements of it and the ceremony and all of that stuff, I'm stunned they set it for us. But
well, maybe it was a good thing that it was get your girls talking about it.
I don't know.
Are
I
you
think
girls,
it's quite
girls
like
school?
Triggering. Mm. Yeah, girls' school.
Interesting.
I don't know if you'd agree with that.
What's that one?
But I think like it's good to be set like really controversial books at school because we like I remember like The Crucible. Did you ever read that?
I know.
No,
that was,
but
that was
I
for the
saw
other
the
class.
Play.
Yeah, it's like all about lying and slut shaming and like.
That's
but
the one
you're
the
encouraged
the witch
to.
Town, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like Salem. Yeah. But you're encouraged to think about it critically. And I think, like, with 1984, it's the same. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah.
And that's, like... There's also got really horrific stuff, like rats burrowing through people's cheeks and, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
rats
like,
eating babies and like, rape and...
Then I think there's some specific part of The Handmaid's Tale that really makes me feel, like, sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
It's because, like, in real life, when are you going to encounter a rat burrowing through someone's cheek... Whereas in real life, when are you going to encounter slut shaming and rape? Probably quite regularly,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. And also, like, with The Handmaid's Tale, I guess, well, kind of in 1984 as well, but with The Handmaid's Tale, like, she didn't make anything up. Like, she's very openly like, everything that happens in The Handmaid's Tale has happened in some regime at some point in history. Like,
yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, no, for
I didn't
sure.
make up any brutalities, so it's weird.
Yeah. What about you? Your
for,
opinion
some,
on the TV series?
For me, I like how nuanced and silent the book is. And I think that's what makes it amazing. And sometimes I'm not sure about the series because I feel like I'm being, things are being simplified because you're shown them. Whereas I think it's scarier to not know what's happening to these characters and not see a death. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm just like a literary snob who's like, well, but I don't know. I just feel like, and especially it's kind of like, I haven't seen the film, but they did already make a film of it.
Apparently that's bad. That's what I've heard.
Who knows? I haven't seen it.
I watched the trailer for it and it looked horrendous.
Wasn't it made in like the 90s though? Well, the 90s was the golden era of cinema, am I right? So, but like, yeah, I don't know. I think that in a film, you wouldn't have to unpack everything, whereas a series really draws everything out. And
yeah, because they did have to do that because you find out like what happens to Luke, her husband and...
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And stuff.
Oh, wow, they really go in.
Yeah, like you get... There's a whole episode which is just... what happened after him and Offred gets... Oh, also the series, like, gives her a name, which...
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the, at the
Wait,
end...
Wait, is that the...
Yeah,
that
at,
in the,
at the end of the first episode, like, literally...
Oh, my God,
the,
Julie.
June.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I did remember that.
At the end of the first episode, and I remember when that happened, I got really pissed off. I was like, why the fuck did they name her? Like,
the whole
point
is that, you
is
don't
that
know
she never has a name. But then... As I continued watching the series and the more I understood what they were, like, trying to do with the series and how, like, when you're telling a story in a TV show, it's just a different medium, so you're going to tell the story differently, and that's fine. And I think for a TV show, it's exceptional. Like, I really think it's incredible. And then you kind of get... Because of the way that the flashbacks are done as well, they use her name in those, and so you're like, oh, okay, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. I think it's just the way, like, the way I experience TV is, like, so different from the way I experience books. Like, I was imagining myself as Offred. And I was, like, feeling it. And I felt tight-chested when she felt tight-chested. And I worried about children when she worried about children. It was like, whereas with this, I'm like, that is Elizabeth Moss feeling sad. I feel sympathy for Elizabeth Moss, but I can't feel like I am Elizabeth Moss. And I don't feel it in the same way.
I think that a big appeal of doing... of doing something like The Handmaid's Tale for someone doing TV is to create the dystopia. Like, I think, and that means that some of the nuance and some of the intricacies that can make the book so good, like almost the space in the book, like, can get ignored because they're so excited to create a dystopia and it's a dystopian fiction series.
Yeah, so it's more like zoomed out.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it isn't. It isn't, like, the TV show isn't zoomed out.
Did you watch the Nerdwriter essay as well?
Yeah, I've watched it twice.
No way, there are
Yeah, so Nerdwriter.
And I rewatched it again today, and it's so... And I remember, like, when I watched the series, because I watched the series when it first came out, and then I saw the Nerdwriter video afterwards. But I remember how claustrophobic I felt, because every shot is just a close-up of their faces with the bonnet up.
Yeah.
And, like...
Yeah.
And, that's, and all you see is, like... You don't see much of the dystopian world. What you see is Elizabeth Moss's reaction to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to explain, the Nerdfighter made this, like, seven...
Nerdwriter. Yeah.
Nerdwriter, sorry.
Yeah.
I get it now. Anyway, he made a seven-minute video, probably, about the use of shallow depth of field in The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
And talking about how effective it was and the way they used it, because it's kind of a cliche to use it, but they used it in a really good way. And it kind of felt like you were under the hood or under, like, the sheets with the character, because it was so shallow when it zoomed in on her face.
And the idea that you only see a tiny bit in focus and everything else is blurred out, which...
In a regime like that, you would only see what happens to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's no news.
So
And the women aren't allowed to read and da-da-da-da, so their world is so much smaller.
Yeah.
Things like that.
My other question was, I'm going to switch them around. Sorry, editing Lena. Apologise for myself. Do you think that it was different, do you think that the series had a different or similar implication for a US and UK audience?
What do you mean?
Okay, I just put this in because I have some opinions.
As
well, with the book, it was, as somebody who isn't from the US, and this is a Canadian author writing in a hypothetical US world, but it's very, you have to, like, work it out in the book. You have to be like, okay, I think we're in America. Yeah. And they eventually start referencing American history, and you're like, okay, we're in America.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, for me, it was a lot less, like, nation-led in the book, because I wasn't, like, you're imagining a lot of it, so a lot of it looked like stuff that I would see, or like houses. The house that I imagined looked like a UK house, and it just felt a lot more like...
Do you think it was in this floating world? Suicides?
Yeah,
like all the houses and stuff.
You're like very
just suburban America.
Suburban America. Whereas, like, I feel like everything is now in the show is, like, explicitly American, and like all of the, like, references, like all the visual language is American.
All of her internal narrative is so American.
Yeah, like the way they write the character.
That was the first thing I noticed about that.
Whereas really, what exactly?
Her, the way she speaks to herself as a normal person is a really...
And the way she, like, talks to people when they, like, put their guard down, they're like, yeah, what's good? I don't know. Whereas in the book, I don't think they used Americanisms as much. I think they had a lot more of, like, this kind of weird future language. I don't know.
Yeah, because we don't really know how, like, far in the future Margaret Atwood was imagining it.
2005.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from 1983 was when it was published, right?
1985, I think. But yeah.
Oh god. Right.
Now I'm just like,
But yeah, I couldn't help also, like, feel a bit more distant from it, because I think she wrote the book in a much more universal way, and they've made it for an American audience and made it more specific.
You're right. It was made in America, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's an American show.
So I just
very glad that
as an international viewer, I felt like it was clearly, like...
I never felt alienated by it. By
I didn't
the
feel
Americanism
like it was personal, but then again, it's the film thing. I don't know, maybe I just hate America.
Yeah.
But also, me and Lena have only watched a bit of it, whereas you've seen the whole thing. You've really...
That's true.
Also, you're more of a TV person, I feel. I don't know about you. I'm not.
I feel like you
TV
you
person.
Watch more series. You like know more about TV than me. I'm always like, what?
Oh, really? Yeah. I feel like I'm so don't but, know. I think but then that's. But also, it's like one of those things where, you know, like the more you learn about something, the more you realise you don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, the more TV I watch, the more TV I realise is out there that I haven't seen. And I'm like, argh.
It's like when people are like, Lena, you know about books. Give me a book recommendation. Yeah. I'm like, no, child, I know nothing.
Yeah.
I've read practically no books. Even though I read like 50 a year. Anyway. Was the expanded story what you imagined? I think I was talking about the books and stuff there. Do you want to just talk about
that? Yeah, because the TV show goes beyond the books in terms of like it goes wider, but then the TV series still ends in the same point that the book ends, like season one. And I don't know, because I don't know what I don't think I imagined anything beyond it. I don't think I had like zero expectations. I had no like, oh, I hope that this happens, or I hope that they do this. And so all of the extra stuff to me, I was like, ooh, more content. This is great.
Yeah, I feel like I was way more, I'm just really curious to find out what would have happened after she got in the van and stuff. That for me is... Mm.
Well, so now basically the creators of the show for season two, it's like after she gets in the van. Mm.
That's kind of where my interest is.
I think because season one was so good, in terms of like judging it as a TV show.
Yeah.
I'm like, great, you have proved your worth. I trust you now.
Yeah.
I trust you with going beyond the, like... the timeline of the book.
Maybe that's what Margaret Atwood felt as well. And she was signed off. She was like, good, go.
Wait, did she have to sign it off?
She would have had to.
Depends if she signed.
Given some kind of.
Depends if she signed a 2-season deal or 1-season deal.
Yeah. It varies in terms of like authors' involvement in adaptations of stuff. It depends what kind of deal you've got in place, I guess.
Fun fact, Jodie Picoult. She wrote. Maybe this is a pointless story.
No, go on. I'm curious.
My Sister's Keeper. Okay, she wrote that book. She signed off the rights for it. They changed the ending.
Yeah.
She didn't get consulted about it. She didn't find out about it. They're already shooting the film. She was so furious that she turned up to the set and they turned her away.
Wow.
I would have been.
I've not read the book, authors really but have I to watched sign the off film sometimes. But a friend of mine told me about the book ending and... Now I can't remember which way around it is, but I remember thinking, oh, the book ending is a lot more like subtle and literary, and the film ending is a lot more Hollywood and dramatic.
Yeah,
and like,
here's a huge difference.
And hearing that, I kind of was like, I totally understand why they did that, but you know, whatever.
They were probably when they were signing, though, they were like, we're totally going to change the ending, take that out of the contract.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you know? It's just awful. I just hate
it's a weird
shit.
One, isn't it? Because who owns work? I don't know. Okay. What did you think about the casting choices?
Love all of it. I just love all of them.
I really like the fact that Moira was black. I can't remember if Moira was meant to be black.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, that was a nice...
I don't know. I don't think it was explicitly said in the book.
No, I don't think it was said, but I liked that choice. I liked her casting choice specifically. It made it feel...
I can't remember if Luke is black in the book as well.
Don't know.
And then their kid, Hannah, is mixed race.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember.
That, they didn't say that at all in the book.
Yeah.
Which is something they put in.
Also, Maura is played by the same actress that plays Puse in Orange is the New Black, and she's just wonderful.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Puse.
Puse, accent of dwat bitch, anyway.
Hannah's back.
Yeah. What did you think about it?
I just think I'm remembering negative about it.
Do you not like Elizabeth Moss? Is this your
thing? I love Elizabeth Moss.
Okay. I thought Elizabeth Moss was it probably a very good choice.
Her face. But,
yeah, I know.
To be honest, to play that role when most of your acting is literally just like a camera right in front of your face and all it is facial expressions that have to go along with an internal monologue that you've recorded separately.
Mm.
Like, that's some pretty good acting skills.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
I think she's phenomenal. I think it was more like peripheral characters who are like the guy. Is the guy who plays the master the guy from Shakespeare in Love, or am I going insane?
Wait, which one's the master?
The commander. Fred. I can't remember Shakespeare in Love.
The guy who works on the
outside. Gwyneth Paltrow. He's not Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
If that's what you're wondering.
The guy who works on the car and stuff and does all the bits and bobs.
Nick.
Yeah,
he's really familiar to me.
Oh, he's in something. I can't remember.
Very... Pretty Little Lies or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I can't remember.
Or like 90210.
Or like some weird shit film.
Yeah.
Something to do with eyebrows, because he has serious eyebrows.
I think I pictured like the master of the house and the wife like as older and less good looking.
Yeah.
Really love the actress that plays Serena Joy.
Yeah,
I think the wife of the commander. I think she's brilliant.
Yeah.
And also I love the embellishment that they did to her role as well and her character in terms of you guys haven't watched it. We're supposed to only be talking about the first two episodes, but I'm just like, no, it, can I say?
Yeah, good.
So, turns out that Serena Joy is a very pious religious. Before Gilead took over, she was like a religious activist and like very prominent and wrote a book called A Woman's Place.
This is in the book, isn't it?
I don't think she was like Serena Joy was famous.
She was a televangelist.
She was a famous person in the book, but I can't remember what it was. But there's this moment in the show where some Mexican delegates are coming to visit, it's a woman who's in charge, and she's talking to Serena Joy. And she's asking her questions about this new regime that she basically helped create because she was like part of the original group of people who like created the whole new system. This Mexican lady basically like asked her about her book, and she was like, is it what you expected? Like, or something. And she was like, I can't remember what Serena Joy says, but then like she explains her question a bit more. So she's like, oh, that you've created a world where women can't read your book.
Yeah.
And something like that. And you just, it's so good. But you just like find out like more about her, and actually like you see this like struggle within her of like, this is what I wanted and I helped create this, but also it's not quite what I imagined, and and she's not in a position of power anymore because she's a woman. Whereas before she was quite influential, and now she's very much like a wife.
Oh god.
Anyway.
That sounds interesting.
That's cool.
She's great.
I
hope that those characters were from Mexico. And I'm not just saying they were Mexican.
Maybe we'll find out and then you can tell us. What did you think about like the way it was shot and how it looked?
Very jarring.
Mm-hmm.
Like
It was especially all very yellow, wasn't it?
That yeah, and that and very very really desaturated.
High. Yeah,
it makes you feel like a bit sick and like yeah. it makes mm. made me feel quite claustrophobic.
Yeah, claustrophobic, mm. so good, like anxious. Like that first scene alone, where they're running away and trying to hide the child, made me so anxious. I was like, do I even want to continue watching?
Yeah. Mm.
I think so. It's also effective. Well done, gang.
Mm. I think the whole thing's shot like it's a dream sequence in yeah, another film.
Yeah, yeah.
I and you wait to like be turned yeah, back into the
so
normal.
So true.
It's so weird, but you never go back.
That's.
But then the flashbacks are, mm. the flashbacks are similar as well. Like it's not like.
No, it's the irony, isn't it? The flashbacks are the real life coloured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go back into the desaturated.
The flashback that really affected me, maybe because she works in a publishing house,
oh, when
but when they
the
like send
fired.
All the women home.
Yeah.
I just
I mean that would be the end of publishing.
I know, like the bit where she lost her child and stuff. I was like, well, we could do that, but I'm like, she lost her job, guys.
God,
yeah.
Is that in the second app?
Yeah. No, is it first?
I can't remember what way around it is.
But yeah, and then also I wanted to talk about the like music and sound choices. So for me, like all of like how close it sounded, like the all the actors were to the mics, like they were all really like it was almost like ASMR-y
yeah.
a lot of the time.
I was watching an interview with. The actress that plays off Glenn,
mm-hmm.
Rory, mm-hmm. Gilmore Girls. Alexis, something or other, I can't remember her name. And she was saying that the camera often is just like a few inches away from their face. So I imagine that the mics are quite close as well.
Wow. That must be so challenging to act in. But yeah, didn't they play like certain songs?
I can't remember. So at the end of the second episode, they play the hey, 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 dun, dun, oh. Do you know what I'm talking about? The 80s
yeah.
film that at the end of
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club in Easy A.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And that was really funny to me. I really liked...
That's like really like... What's the
I love
proper
that.
Literary word? Juxtaposition.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird.
I loved that choice and I thought it like pulled you out of it and it was like that's what she can hear in her head because she probably grew up in the 80s and she probably loved that film and like when she succeeds and she gets out and she realises the master just wants to play Scrabble with her, she's like yeah,
she's like winning.
Boom,
but
boom.
Also that's quite nice for the viewer
because
it's like high suspense, like you've not been breathing for an hour whilst you've been watching it. Credits roll. Oh, here's a familiar song that gives you happy feelings, and it's like, and breathe and like help you.
Yeah,
you need stuff like that.
Because
really
sometimes when
series.
You, sometimes when you're like really involved in watching something, and then you can't step away from it, and then you like it ends, but you're still in it.
Yeah.
But when you've got like a song like that as the credits roll, I think it also helps you ease out of.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Out of that mindset, and you can be like, I can be a normal human again and remember that that's fiction, but also not fiction.
But then she turns, that song's playing, and she turns up at the gate and she's like, hi, off Glenn. And then it turns around, it's not off Glenn.
Yeah, it's not off Glenn.
So
and then it's like, and mood killer.
Yeah. So I enjoyed that as a choice. That's what I had to say on the music. But
sweet. I like that.
That was one of my fave parts of it.
Yeah.
Things that you wanted to see that you didn't see.
Oh.
That you'd like to have added to it or.
I feel like because it was quite a long series and it's like a lot and it's a short book, I think they like managed to keep in most of the like important beats in the book. The only thing that they would have missed is just like bits of her internal monologue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really the bit that I've seen of it.
Mm.
Like it was really loyal to the book.
Oh, there's one bit actually that they. Did they include? I can't remember. But there was one of the many ceremonies where they get all the handmaids together to, like, murder people and stuff. But there was one where it was, like, parading the little girls. So, like, the girls who have been born of handmaids who are maybe, like, 7 years old or something. Mm. Or maybe a bit older and they were then getting, like, paired off with young boys and they were going to... be engaged. I don't know, but there was a bit in the book. I swear there was a bit in the book where like Aunt Lydia's there and they're like, look at these young daughters of Gilead and they're like, I don't know, a bit older. They're not babies, they're children or teenagers.
Oh, and they being like paired off.
Maybe, or they're just being shown off. I can't remember.
That would be such an American TV exec decision.
No, that didn't happen in the show.
Yeah, that's what I mean, as in they will have seen it and been like, no, too controversial, that one's about kids. I don't know.
I can't remember now.
Most other things.
I mean, they included the bit where the handmaids beat up the rapist.
Yeah, that was weird.
I'm glad they included that because it's so, I mean...
It's a really jarring scene.
Oh, yeah.
But did it remind you of...
Go on.
Spoiler.
No.
For The Power.
Oh, yeah, no, don't say anything.
Okay. It reminded me of The Power.
I can't remember which bit you mean, but I'm sure we can discuss it in a bit.
We'll discuss it another time. Cool. Best bits?
Best bits. Offred's face.
All of it.
So all of the shit.
Yeah.
Oh, just also Moira.
Moira's, I was just going to say, I really like Moira.
Moira's, I won't say anything, just for spoilers for Lucy, if you're going to watch it, the whole thing. But Moira's extended storyline.
Okay.
Of what
That's
happened,
exciting.
Of what happens Mystery. To Moira.
Okay, she becomes a brothel lady.
Yeah, but after that, because you know that happens in the book. And then in the book...
I thought that was the saddest part of the whole book when I read
she,
it.
She like escapes and then she gets... again.
Into a different world.
But because in the book, Offred says, I don't know what happens to her because I never saw her again. But in the TV show, you get to find out what happens to Moira. And it, I was in fucking tears.
It's not going to be good, is it?
Well, it was. They were tears, but I'm not saying if they were happy or sad tears.
Okay.
But, I mean, there was tears.
Like, some rules of photography and, like, you know, it just, it did the things.
Yeah.
And then also, I've just thought of something that I did really enjoy was, like, I always noticed when they did those shots of above of the handmaids and they were always swarming. So, like, when they're in the courtyard or when they're,
it makes them seem like
just after that baby's born and then they take away the baby from the one-eyed lady, Janine, and then they all come around and hug her, and it's like, it's always shot from above, and it's like a swarm. So it's kind of like it's like beautiful, but it also is like this animalistic thing of like, they're swarming, they're like bees,
or like
you know, it's weird.
And also from above, you can't see any of their faces.
Yeah, it was like this organism thing. And it also reminded me of those like really upbeat adverts where they get those people to like turn over sheets of paper above their heads to like spell logos.
Yeah. I always found it really weird how... Janine is like one of the only handmaids that is regularly referred to as her name. Like even like not just the handmaids but like the aunts and other people are like Janine but then they'll also call her Off Warren. So they'll kind of call her both. It's just weird. I don't know. I don't know if it's because she's politically correct way of saying this. She's got like mental health issues. So she's like...
Oh, does she? Does she actually? I thought she was faking them.
Oh, really? Interesting.
In the series, I thought it's implied that they're fake.
Was it?
Because, you know, she's got she's naked and she's by the window and she's talking to herself. They're like, stop that. We know that you're lying. You don't want to go to where they're going to send you if you continue to pretend to be like this.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. And she stops.
Oh, because if she was actually mad, they would have sent her to the colonies or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. That's dark, man. I always thought that it was because she was like that. She was like more vulnerable, so they called her by her name because she maybe didn't answer to Offward. I don't know. But also, I don't feel like anyone in Gilead would have shown her that courtesy of calling her by her name. So that's why it confuses me.
Yeah.
Of why
it's like a weird choice.
Yeah.
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 I don't know.
But she's amazing in it as well. She's got a great storyline that...
God, anyway, they really do explore everyone.
They really do. Exactly. They really do. Yeah.
Would we have sex with the handmaids today?
No.
Not in any way.
Not even
if somebody held me down and pretended it was their vagina.
Ceremony.
No, I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
That's a firm no from the Bangy Book Club. We would not have sex with the handmaids today. Cool.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Don't forget to go follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
We have an Instagram that I've been bad at updating, but I promise there is stuff coming.
It looks good.
It's very aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. That was my plan.
It looks like a sex cake.
That was not my plan.
Sure.
But hey, it's,
what is a sex cake?
I don't know. I shouldn't be a reviewer.
And Twitter be like the filling and Instagram be the icing of
yes,
our banging
it looks
book
like
cake.
The icing of the banging book club. That's what
yeah,
it looks
but
like.
The tasty bits in the middle. That's yeah.
Which is the Twitter
the
account.
Meat and potatoes.
Which is just me tweeting limericks at the moment, but...
I'm into it.
I'm not apologising for it.
This month, February, we are reading She of the Mountains by Vivek Shreya. I don't know. It's a very short book. Please read along. I've read it already. Also, February is the month of Hannah and Lucy's birthdays, so don't forget to wish us happy birthday. Mine is on the 19th and Lucy's is on the 20th.
Do you know what you could do that would be really nice for our birthdays? You could leave us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate that.
It could be my unbirthday present.
Yeah, but don't mention it's our birthdays. You know, you just got to be like, oh, I just love Banging Book Club.
And I'm just five leaving stars. This review, this really great positive review, just
spontaneously, because I felt like it.
Hannah's is the 19th, mine is the 20th. You know what to do.
Happy there birth. We go. I love it.
Thanks for listening.
Is Bye. There any other admin? We good? Bye. We did. Welcome back, me.
Welcome back, Hannah. Hannah's alive and well.
Yep.
Yeah. With no, she's good enough.
Without a colon, but yeah. With Mona.
With, yeah.
Yeah.
Sans colon. Avec Mona. Sorry. That's literally what you said, and I just did it in French.
No, I prefer
for no that. Reason.
Such a knob.
Okay. God, this outro is forever. Bye.
Bye.
We nailed it.
We
got to hit stop.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.